Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 10K Collective podcast, the place for six, seven and eight figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers. Today, got somebody on to talk about omnichannel marketing, which is something we haven't discussed before, but I think is going to be one of the most important trends, which is a growing part of a bigger picture of off Amazon marketing. So here to talk about it is Rytus Loris of Omnisend. Rytus is the co-founder and CEO of Omnisend, and that is an omnichannel marketing automation tool for e-commerce. So Rytus, warm welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting.
Thanks very much. So I know you've got a very impressive background. We'll touch on that in a bit, but we haven't got that much time. So I want to cut straight to the meat and potatoes of the value for e-commerce listeners. So first of all, what is omnichannel and why is that important for e-commerce sellers? So that's actually two questions. So I'll let you answer those. First question, what is omnichannel marketing?
Yeah, but I would say those two questions are really related to each other. So maybe I can even start with why it's important. We strongly believe that the entire commerce is moving omnichannel way. So as it used to be like separated online sellers, it used to be separated offline, like brick and mortar stores, and it definitely going one direction. But in the future, I'm a strong believer that in the future, like 5 to 10 years perspective, us as the customers will be able to buy anything whenever we want to do that. It should be like online, offline, brick and mortar stores, or on like social media, on our phones, while waiting for a bus, etc. So this is definitely the direction the entire commerce is moving, and I'm a strong believer that like 5 to 10 years perspective, we're going to lose the e-letter in e-commerce world. So it's going to be just commerce. So it's a first thing. And the second thing, that once commerce is moving to omnichannel direction, we strongly believe that marketing or the way we communicate with our customers should be omnichannel as well. And omnichannel is being understood a little bit differently here. So it's a variety of different channels, email, text messages, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, web push notifications, and even like synchronization with Google and Facebook ads, which allows you to better retarget your customers or maybe create lookalike audiences. So all those channels which are effective in customer retention, in communication with your existing customers, where you need a consent, where you need a permission from your existing customer base to communicate with them, but which is really an owned media, as you said, like outside in Amazon. Once you're selling on Amazon, on other platforms, you don't own those channels. You don't own the contacts and permissions from your customers to communicate with them. But we strongly believe that owning this is very important. And that's where omnichannel is really opening new opportunities for everyone who is selling online.
Excellent. That's a nice elevator pitch style communication about that. I really like the fact that what you're saying is part of a very big picture. And one of the things I really like to push for on the 10K Collective podcast is big picture thinking. Because I think if you can see the bigger picture, of course, you've got to survive the next month and the next year, as all small business owners have to, or small or medium business owners. But yeah, I think it's good to see that the separations that we so proudly proclaim about e-commerce eventually is going to be retail. And Amazon is, of course, unsurprisingly leading the way because it's famously the most dominant e-commerce retailer in the world by a very large margin, but they have physical stores, right? So
exactly.
If Amazon is leading, and the strange thing about the e-commerce space is that normally small companies are the disruptive companies that kind of cannibalize the existing business model, but Amazon started off that way, but is still kind of cannibalizing, if you like, its own business model. So it's still the most innovative company, even though it's the biggest one, which is kind of weird, right? I mean, it's kind of amazing achievement, but I don't know what that tells us. But I think certainly what Amazon does is probably still the way of the future, right? So it's somewhere to see where the market's going.
Two things here, I would say. So Amazon is leading this basically because they create almost a monopoly of the data. So they have as much data as none of other retailers do have. And they're smart and they're utilizing this data. They're really personalizing the communication. So here at Omnisend is one of the things where we're bringing this personalization capabilities to a smaller businesses, which some years ago were not available for those smaller businesses. And like other smaller players, so like combining this online and offline approach, so like pop-up stores is really a massive trend that like more and more businesses are launching pop-up stores. And we are recording around like Christmas season. So like a lot of stores, like seasonal stores, which are selling around like high season, etc. And even like in spring and autumn, you can see a lot of attempts to have like 1-2 months pop-up stores, which are temporarily there. But it's another trend, and it's a great opportunity for smaller players, e-commerce players, to really have this physical presence and really have a physical showroom, which the most limiting, I would say, in e-commerce, or like to e-commerce to really boom explodively, still is kind of growing by double digits year over year, but it's not exploding. It's really that still the lack of this personal experience that you cannot touch things, you know, you cannot experience things. So like offline really gives us this opportunity to bring this experience to our customers.
Okay, so that's another bigger conversation, or that's good to put things in context. But let's get back to the marketing thing. So let's move from one step from where most listeners are going to be at, which is they're selling on Amazon, probably in many cases have their own Shopify or Magento, WooCommerce, whatever it is, store. So why isn't it enough to have a decent email list? Because obviously that is a powerful piece of marketing. Why do we need to go broader than that?
Yeah, so I would say that having email list, decent email list is very important. Email is still the most effective channel, but augmenting emails by other channels is the best way to go. So I would advocate like that we should change the understanding of subscriber, the definition of subscriber from a subscriber being just an email subscriber to subscriber as a person who just gave us any consent to communicate through any channel, like email, text messages, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, or maybe web push notification. So email, sometimes I use the topic email is dead to hook the audience once I do public speaking or something similar to that. And it's really what it is. I mean, that email augmented with other channels brings great results. Like we have researched our customers who are using more than 3 channels. So usually they see more than 90% higher customer retention rate. So really allowing our customers to choose the most preferred channel for communication is something like very important for them. And that's how we like expand our reach. But that being said, email still is the most effective customer retention and communication with existing customer channels. And I strongly believe that email has survived and will be in place for long, long years. As we have started this business 6 years ago, and then it was just email service provider. And I remember myself like pitching venture capitalists, etc., and telling that, okay, this is very important for e-commerce. Email is important. Everybody was, come on, man. I still, it's a dead channel. It's going to be replaced soon. But it survived, and it's still the most effective channel for a customer retention.
Yeah, that's very interesting to hear that. And I think it's, I love the phrase by Jim Collins, the great business writer, not either or, but both and, which to be fair, I came across in Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, which everyone quotes and has read and probably should move on from now. But yeah, I think either or is the wrong way of thinking of it. So email is really important, and we want to augment that so that we are communicating with people in their preferred styles. So let's talk about the idea for a second of personalized messaging, because you mentioned already that one of the advantages Amazon had is not just having more data, but the ability to personalize based on that. So what is personalized messaging, and why is it important for you e-commerce?
Yeah, so I would say like understanding of personalized messages. So again, one way of understanding like personalized messages is just basically based on profile data. So inserting the name, the city of your customer, or maybe some other personalized data. So it's one way of personalizing. But much more important and much more effective is really personalizing messages and automating marketing with the data you get from your online store, which your customer leaves, or the data you get from your customer's behavior. Once the customer itself shows you what she or he is interested in. So it's like in technical languages, we call like triggers. So then you do analyze your customer's behavior, and those based on some behavior, you initiate campaigns, automated campaigns, being running automate, inserted with a proper content. So just, you know, example of that would be someone is browsing your online store and then looking at very specific product category, let's say perfume, although you're selling accessories, clothes, and perfume. So, and that's how you know that that specific person currently is interested in perfume. So you can better run automated campaigns with the content related to that product category and maybe provide discounts or like the new arrivals and everything related to that category. And this is the real personalization, and it's not about your demographics, but maybe now I'm interested in buying a perfume, but maybe I will be interested in buying some beautiful scarf after 2 or 3 months. And it doesn't change my demographic profile, but it really allows to really personalize messaging to me, because in that way, automated marketing with inserted products in it really becomes much more relevant for me as a receiver, because I'm interested in that product category at this specific moment.
Okay, so that's a very, very important point that you've just made, which is categorizing by person, as in the demographic, the external facts. So, you know, as a man, a 45-year-old man living in London, tends to buy electronics or something, whatever it is a bit crude compared to behavior-based changes. And the other thing is that it's based on in the moment marketing, or at least where they're at right now. So tell me a bit more about the mechanics of that. Obviously, we're not going to go into chapter and verse about that, because that could take all day. But what if I've got, say, a Shopify store, for the sake of argument, and I'm selling perfume amongst other women's accessories of, I don't even know exactly what kind of store that would sit within, because I'm too ignorant of that sort of market, really. But let's say it's a fashion type store, and they also sell scarves or something, accessories. What's the mechanics then? So assume it's hosted on Shopify. How do we make that happen?
Yeah, so let's say in Omnisend case, and Shopify is a great example. We are among like the most popular marketing automation tools or email marketing tools in Shopify. So with Shopify, with WooCommerce, is just very, very easy. You just plug and play, you insert the plugin, you connect Shopify with your marketing automation tool, Omnisend or other marketing automation tool. We do synchronize all your transactions data. So that's how we build the initial profile of your customers. So the past behavior, like past transactions, what kind of products the one was buying in the past, when was the last transaction, what was the average shopping cart, for one thing. Second thing is we insert the front end pixel, basically tracking your customer's behavior on your side. So that's how we identify if we have a permission from that customer to communicate with him or her. So we do analyze the customer's behavior on site, which tells a lot about his or her current intent, what the example I just previously gave, that what is he or she looking currently. So analyzing this on-site behavior is very, very important as well.
Okay, and then once you've figured out what their behavior is, and okay, somebody's looking at perfume, maybe they're more likely to buy perfume, which I guess isn't rocket science, but it's still new to us. I mean, in the offline world, that would be a pretty no-brainer, but to automate that has now become more possible. But once we know that, what do we do with that? Would you have a Facebook Messenger chatbot pop up a chat? Would you text them? What would you do in response to that?
Yeah, so that's where Omnichannel kicks in, and where I would really suggest to start like a campaign, automated campaign. Once we identify the interest, as you said, it's not a rocket science, but still, in a lot of occasions, you as a customer, you're browsing online store and you receive the newsletter, but the content is not related to what you are looking at. So it's, I believe still a lot of stores has a room for improvement here. Yeah. So basically, what comes next? So you start a automated campaign where you have all those different channels on a single flow. So we identify the customer. Let's say we start with email email campaign, which is the most cost-effective channel. We insert the products, personalized products, based on behavior first. So we send an email, maybe two emails, and if nothing happens, I mean, if the transaction doesn't happen, we continue campaign, like start and send a message. If we have, of course, a permission to send via Facebook Messenger, maybe via WhatsApp, depending on the country, if WhatsApp is a popular channel. No, maybe push notification. And if still nothing happens, we finally push the data to Google and Facebook ads to start running retargeting campaigns. And this is kind of the most costly way to retain your customer. But if transaction doesn't happen, so we add more and more channel, another channel, and try different channels. So and if a customer comes back and completes the transaction, what we're willing to achieve here, so we definitely stop the campaign automatically at any point whenever the customer kind of triggers another trigger showing that, okay, I have completed the transaction.
Okay, so to summarize then, my understanding, we get the trigger is based on behavior, so browsing instantly, and presuming that they've clicked the thing on their website that says, yes, I accept that you are going to put me on your sort of Googling, what's the word, cookies. You're going to be cookied, getting a pixel tracking you. And then the first thing you do is emails, because it's cheap or free, effectively. I mean, getting them to sign up in the first place probably wasn't free, but now you've got them, it's free. The next thing, if there's no transaction, you'll keep sending on email, then you might escalate to Messenger, because I guess you're going to have to spend a bit more money to keep your Messenger app going, although technically you don't have to pay for it. WhatsApp, I guess you're probably going to have to pay per message. And then obviously, yep, as you say, paid advertising by far the most expensive. Now, am I understanding correctly that you can sort of have an escalating series of channels that go from the free to the expensive, and you gradually add them on as they don't respond, just to try and get some response?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, okay. So from free to the most expensive. So that's what we advocate. But you can, at the same time, I mean, let's say in some occasions you can have a customer's permission to communicate via text message, SMS, but no permission to communicate via email. So in that case, you just add text message as a fallback channel. So the campaign starts with email, but if you have no permission to communicate via email, so it automatically jumps to a second option, which is text message.
That makes sense. And SMS may be the initial channel. Now, one thing I've heard, in his usual kind of forthright way, Gary Vaynerchuk, who some people, you know, love, hate, whatever, I'm a fan to a point. He's certainly a bit of an expert communication in, you know, very wide range of channels. And he's, if you listen to his podcast, he says, I'm going all effing in, is because he swears a lot, but I can't be bothered to do it on my podcast because then we have to bleep it out to be able to be in a lot of countries. But he says, I'm going all effing in on SMS marketing. Please text me 551212, whatever. That isn't the number, by the way. Don't text that if you want Gary Vaynerchuk. But that's very interesting to me that he's not trying to capture people's email addresses. He's not trying to get them to visit his site and then trying to, say, pix them or whatever. He's very, very much pushing for SMS. So what's your experience with SMS as a sort of first point of contact as opposed to email?
Yeah, so SMS is definitely living its renaissance, and it's highly effective. And yeah, it's a bit more costly comparing to email. But as I said at the very beginning, I would suggest all of us to change the understanding about subscriber. So subscriber can be email subscriber, can be SMS subscriber, can be both, or maybe three or four channels. So our goal is really to have as many permissions to communicate through as many channels as the customer is still willing to give us permission. So SMS is like super effective channel, and we can dig deep into that.
I'd love to dig into that. But just before that, because you mentioned permissions a few times, what's the easiest and most sort of elegant way to collect permissions to contact people via potentially email, SMS, WhatsApp, Messenger, advertise at them? That's five permissions of some description, or pixel them, I suppose. What's the easiest way to do that? Because if you contact somebody five times for permission, that can start in itself to feel, A, it starts to feel like you're hounding them, and B, of course, ironically, you may not have permission to contact them. That was one of the ironies of the GDPR legislation when it came up in Europe and the UK included, was that a lot of people sent emails saying, we'd like your permission to keep you on our list. And of course, they didn't have permission to send that email, ironically. Yeah. So how do you deal with the permission side? Because obviously that could be a real stumbling block. What's the best way? So multiple permissions, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so there are two options you can deal with that. So first is like pretty straightforward. So you have a form, instead of asking just an email address, you ask permission to communicate via different channels, and you just basically allow your customer to choose, okay, we can communicate with you via those five channels, so which ones do you prefer? And your customer just put tick the boxes, and that's like pretty straightforward. That you have on one form different channels listed, and you allow your customers to choose whichever most perfect for them. And then it's more contextual point of view when you have different permissions inserted in the different situations. So let's say a traditional pop-up, which is still very effective, and it collects a lot of it, converts a lot of visitors to subscribers. So you can be asking for email only. Then on the checkout process, when usually people do enter their phone numbers, you better put the tick box that, okay, I'm willing to subscribe for marketing messages via SMS. So it's recontextual on the checkout, different location. Let's say once on the product page and the product is out of stock, you can insert, would you like to subscribe via Facebook Messenger? And we will update you whenever it's back on stock. Maybe there is kind of another campaign where you can say, okay, if you would subscribe for our push notifications, we will send you a discount code, a free delivery option, etc. So putting those contents contextually, where people would not feel that, okay, I'm overwhelmed with like the business asking me all those permissions, but they're kind of really contextual. And if I spend more time, if I complete a transaction, so that means that I'm already with have kind of a relationship with this brand, with this online store, and I'm willing to give those permissions to communicate much more. So that's the second approach, which is the most effective.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, wow. So this is really something that you've got to get your head around. And I suppose in the end, you need to think about the customer experience first, which is that it feels organic. And as you say, that the level of, how can I put it, intimacy that you're asking for? Because I mean, for me, an SMS message is quite, it's still a channel that's mostly used by close friends, and my wife is always sending me SMS messages because half the time she's stuck at work and she can't be talking on the phone, but she can do a sneaky text. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who experiences that. So there is something about that where I'd want to give more permission. And I think there's certain types of marketing that can really get up people's noses. So I like the fact that you're relating it to how related they feel to your company. If they placed an order, they obviously trust you enough to give you money. So that's a powerful indication. That's a good time to ask for an SMS. And yeah, so I guess the other way of putting it is that you're doing it in a variety of ways and a variety of channel permissions being asked at a variety of points. I mean, so, okay, that's great.
That's
correct. Without getting lost in that, I think there's some really useful hints there. Okay, so I think we should talk about SMS marketing separately because I think in itself it's such a powerful potential channel.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for Kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US dollars or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for Mother, P for Peter, M for Mother. Thanks for listening.